One FYI, there is a second collection today. It's one of only two second collections, I think, that we have anymore. And this is for the diocesan missions. So I think that still contributes financially towards the mission work that our diocese has been connected with down in Peru for many years. But also, you know, we're starting some new things like this partnership with Uganda. We had some of our college students last year, a year and a half ago, go on a mission trip to Uganda, and there's just the national missions that our bishops throughout this country support. So thank you for your generosity to the diocesan missions. So I was on retreat a week ago, and this past week I was at a conference in Toledo, Ohio, and I still haven't found my razor. I told the people over at Sacred Heart this morning that if everybody comes up to me saying, here's one, then I know what you think about it. I've never been a big label guy. You know, some people proudly wear their labels. I'm Republican, I'm Democrat, I'm conservative, I'm liberal, I'm a Martha, I'm a Mary. I don't think it's because I'm opposed to commitment, right? I mean, look at me. But maybe part of it is because I think I have some of all those things in me. So the label misses out on at least some or a lot of who I am. Maybe there's a little bit of pride in that. God forgive me. But I do believe it's good to see others as always more than whatever label they may grab onto. The only label I think we should all be completely comfortable with is Christian. In the Old Testament, at least since the fall, the appearance or the voice of the Lord is always mediated through angels. So when Genesis today says that the Lord appeared to Abraham, it then says that when Abraham looked up, he saw three men, which we should hear as three angels appearing as men. This scene in Genesis is where the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament gets the line about entertaining angels unawares. If Abraham had only labeled them as strangers, he may not have been as hospitable. But Abraham was open to a stranger being more than a stranger. He was open to a visitor being more than a visitor. And every person being more than whatever labels we or they may have for themselves. And even unawares, Abraham shows great love and care for the other. He runs to greet them, begs for the favor to wash their feet and have them rest with him, to feed them and to wait on them. Now, if I knew those were angels, and more so, angels representing the Lord, I'd do just as much, if not more, than what Abraham did. But would I do that unawares? And why wouldn't I? You know, as a parish, we've been very hospitable to the Afghan families who have come to Colombia, to lots of folks who call or stop by in need of this or that to help them make it. But Abraham didn't pat himself on the back, and neither should we. The angels came to Abraham to test him and to deliver the great message that his wife Sarah would conceive and bear a child. Now remember, Abraham was 100 years old when this happened, and Sarah was 90. So be careful. And I have to add here, I don't believe that this is just a story made up to teach us a lesson. I was just at the Encounter Conference in Toledo, Ohio, where nearly 300 people experienced physical healings, and where stories were told of the sick being healed and demons being cast out, and of the dead being raised in our day, in our time. Is any of this too great for our God? Seriously. Is any of this too great for our God? How many miracles did Jesus perform in the Gospels? Are those just stories? Why don't we see more miracles today? Is it because science has taken over? God's not opposed to science. He created it out of nothing. But if we're not seeing miracles, maybe it's because we're not asking for them. Or maybe we're scared to ask for them. Or maybe we're not even open to them. One of the powerful testimonies that I heard last week was from a man who experienced the Lord, it was the Lord, raising two different people from the dead through him. It was a powerful testimony. But he also recounted that the first 35 times that he prayed the Lord to raise a dead person, nothing happened. He said the body didn't even get a little warm. And he praised the Lord. And he persevered. There were 4,000 people at that conference last week. Only 300 of them experienced physical healing. Think of the great number of people that Jesus healed in the Gospels. There were thousands upon thousands that he did not. Why? Because for the Christian, this is not our home. And miracles are signs of the kingdom of God erupting into this world to remind us that this isn't our home. And that the powers of this world are as nothing compared to the power and the love and the goodness of his kingdom, which is our home. The miracles are signs for us to believe more deeply in the truth of the gospel and in the power of God's love in our life. Not just in the life of some people in Toledo, Ohio, some holy and great people there. No, in our life. In our second reading from the letter to the Colossians, St. Paul says that he rejoices in his sufferings. St. Paul worked many physical healings during his ministry. Why didn't he heal himself of his sufferings? Actually, he tried. Elsewhere, he describes a great suffering in his life, and he says, 3 times he begged the Lord, prayed to the Lord to remove this from him. But the Lord refused. Sometimes the Lord refuses our requests, saying, in your weakness, my power reaches perfection in you. In God's own wisdom, not ours, there are times when he works miracles to stir up our faith in his power and the goodness of his kingdom. And there are times when he bestows the cross to configure us more closely to his Son, Jesus Christ. And we should not grow tired of asking for both. We should not be afraid to ask for both, to be bold in asking for both. Ask for both healing and the grace to endure the cross. And so in this reading from Colossians, Paul teaches us that the great mystery of God, which he has earnestly desired to reveal to us for millennia. He was desiring, waiting to reveal this to us. And he finally has. And Paul says the great mystery is this: Christ in you, the hope for glory. Christ in you. Christ in us. Maybe Christ working miracles in us and through us. It will also most certainly be Christ crucified in us, configuring us ever more closely to his cross. In the gospel, Martha gets configured more closely to his cross. Notice that Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha for her service. Service is a good and holy thing. He rebukes her for complaining about her sister. And then he calls her by name with beautiful love and tenderness. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things, but only one thing is required. Only one thing is necessary. Mary is listening to the Lord. Jesus wants Martha to listen to him too, in her service. So that service flows from her listening. And that service follows discipleship. Discipleship flows from her listening. And that her service is purified from a desire for approval. You know, why was she anxious and concerned? Maybe she was like, oh, I got the Messiah coming to my house here and his 12 apostles. I got to look good. I got to put on a good banquet here. I got to clean up the house, right? It's your desire for approval there? Jesus doesn't want that. Purify that. And then service can be done in obedience, listening, and in love. So here's the homework for the week. Pray for the gift of supernatural faith. That's the gift to trust in God's care and providence with all your heart, not just your mind. With all your heart, to know it. And then your hospitality, your service, your being configured to the cross of Christ in you will also be supernatural. Do you believe that?